Welcome to the Eastman Dental Podcast, where we hope to inspire, motivate, and provide education from our guests' experience.
Well, what a great episode with Hugo talking about his dental journey.
I know, and he started out in Portugal, moved to the UK, and is doing a whole range of different things now that he's here.
I think it's just fascinating to know about dental technology in different countries and the training pathways and the experiences of what you can do with your career.
And of course, he's doing his PhD now, and academia and research in dental technology might not always be put together, so it was interesting to hear about that too.
Really inspiring.
So sit back, relax, and here's Hugo's episode.
With your hosts, Josh Hudson and Julia Bruin.
Welcome to the Eastman Dental Podcast, Hugo. It's really good to have you here. We always tend to start our interviews with our guests, you know, perhaps in the traditional way, right at the beginning. So you are a dental technician. Some people might not even know what those things are, let alone become one. So perhaps tell us about where you first heard about dental technology and what made you go into this career.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for the invitation. I wasn't expecting to be sitting on this chair and being interviewed for this podcast. And congratulate you on the durability of the podcast, because I think that's always easy to start, but keeping it going, that's the hard part. I think a lot of podcasts after a couple of episodes stop because it's hard to carry on.
Thank you.
In terms of dental technology, well, my father is a dental technician, and that's how I started. I'm from a small town in the middle of Portugal. My dad's always been a dental technician, but he only does removable, so he only does dentures. So that was my experience at the beginning.
Oh, we never say only in this podcast.
Well, yes.
He is, of course, you know, somebody that is integral to the care of patients who need removable appliances. Mm.
And well, that was my experience. So when I went to university, that was my plan at the beginning, was just to go to university. I thought that was the whole dental technology world, was just removable and acrylics. And then when I started at university and I started learning about ceramics and implants and chrome dentures and all that, I fell in love with the profession and then just stayed with it until now. Yeah.
So your dad didn't put you off then? You didn't get...
No.
It's one way or the other, isn't it? Either it's don't do this or you end up falling in love with it as well.
No, I agree. Well, our plan at the beginning, at least my plan at the beginning, was just to carry on with my dad's business. Mm-hmm. The plan was I'm going to go to university. I'll learn about dentures. I'll go back to my hometown. I'll carry the lab and the family business and that's it. But the moment I, like I said, started learning that dental technology is a lot more than just doing dentures, I couldn't go back to my hometown to do that. I'll probably at some point, I think I'll go. I think my dad is retiring now, so I might go back and run the family business now that I have more experience.
So were you in the lab when you were a kid? Have you got childhood memories?
For me to be, normally the time I spent in the lab, I wasn't that kind of kid. I hated the lab. Oh, I hated the lab. So the lab for me was a punishment.
Okay.
Right. So every time I misbehaved or didn't went to class or had a bad grade or something like that, that was my punishment. I'm going to, you need to sit here and you're going to scrape the plaster from the muffles. Or you need to spend some time cleaning something on the lab. So that was my punishment. So I really didn't like the lab at the beginning when I was young because I always looked at it as a punishment. But when I got a little bit older and I got the opportunity to go to university, I thought, okay, this is actually a nice profession and this is something I can do for the rest of my life.
So as you said there, you went on to do your training in Portugal. So I just wonder if you could tell us a bit more about that experience, that training experience, maybe what were some of the good things? What were some of the challenges of going through that part of your journey?
Well, in terms of challenges, there's nothing that comes to mind in terms of challenges, but the process that I went through. And well, when I did my dental technology course, it was 4 years. It changed now in Europe. I think maybe 10 years ago, all the four-year courses changed into 3 years. Mm-hmm. So I think I still got to, I think it was the last year they actually did 4 years, which is really good because you spend more time in university, you spend more time practicing. One thing that I know it's different from the UK universities is we spend a lot more time in terms of the why, let's say. So studying all the theory, we spend more time reading and doing essays and classes and exams. In the UK, how they teach dental technology is a lot more practical. A lot more practical. If I look at the example of at Bolton University, where I do some work, students normally, after like maybe 4 or 5 months, I'm not 100% sure, but I know on the first year, they're already doing placements and they're already going to labs, mm-hmm. right? So I think that it's a good thing because it's a profession that actually needs practical, right? So you need to do it mm-hmm. with your hands. But at the same time, you're losing a lot of information in terms of why do you do this, right? Because the moment you sit in the lab, you can start doing it and you can improve your hands. But why do you do that? Why do you use that material? Why should you use that material instead of that one? That part you never developed that much. So I think it's Portugal has one thing that works a little bit better than the UK, but I think the UK has the other part that works well as well. It's one against the other. Which one is best? I think it's hard to say. It's hard to say. Yeah.
So you moved from Portugal to the UK. I mean, that must have been perhaps a bit scary, moving to a different country. Clearly, your English is fantastic, so language was no barrier. But I think we're all interested to know perhaps what the UK was going to be bringing you that Portugal wasn't.
Well, I think the main thing, you know, and being honest, it's the salary, right? It's the salary that you're going to get in the UK compared with Portugal. Salaries for dental technicians in Portugal are low. Even if I look at a university professor working in Portugal, his salary is not enough. He still needs to work in a lab, right? So for dental technicians, if it's for a teacher or a normal dental technician sitting in a lab, salaries are low. So that was the first thing that pushed me to come to the UK. The second thing was I wanted to further my education. And at that point, I've been in the UK now 10 years. And at that point, there wasn't any master degrees in Portugal related with dental technology or maybe materials, dental materials or anything. Mm-hmm. So that's what pushed me to come to the UK because I knew that at 10 years ago, there was already a couple of master's degrees in the UK that I could do. There was also, I think, the PhD at Manchester University was available as well. So I knew there was a road inside education that I could do the moment I arrived in the UK. In Portugal, it was never going to happen. And then after that, thinking a little bit further, my idea was, okay, after I do all of this, if I go back to Portugal with this in my pocket, a lot of more doors will open for me. So that was my plan coming here. And I grew up in the 90s. So I was a big fan of The Blur and Oasis and the Britpop. So that pushed me to come to the UK as well, I think.
That's very interesting because I genuinely, I don't think that's something, well, I certainly didn't know about the salary discrepancies, but clearly, and the educational opportunities here. So that's quite encouraging to hear.
It's changed a little bit. Now there are opportunities in Portugal to do PhDs or master's degrees. The opportunities are there. Although Portugal is still a little bit closed in terms of online master degrees. You can literally in the UK, if you do it at Cardiff University, you can do a master's degree long distance. So you don't need to travel. And it's a brilliant master's degree course. I've done it and you'll learn a lot. They actually push you a lot, even being long distance. You still have to do some practical. You're still going to be evaluated on that practical. I think if it works, I think Portugal is still a bit closed in terms of online work, but hopefully it changes.
So thinking about that timeline, did you practice in Portugal initially as a dental technician, then come, or did you finish your training, then come straight to the UK?
No, I finished university and then I stayed in Portugal for 4 years, I think, five years, working in a lab. I was working in metal at that point, something that almost doesn't exist anymore, metal worker in a dental lab. Everything is zirconia now, so no one's filmed. The department, the metal, when I started doing my work, you always had like all labs had a metal department. You always had two or three dental technicians doing metal crowns, metal frameworks, casting, laser welding. you don't find that anymore. If you go on eBay right now, you'll find a lot of laser welding machines for a third of the price. So that's changed. So when at some point I wanted to learn about ceramics, the lab that I worked at that point wouldn't teach me. Not that they didn't want, but the space wasn't there. It wasn't available. So I moved that point. I moved back to Lisbon for another year to work in ceramics because I knew I had to learn something because this metal was a dying profession. Yeah, yeah. So I jumped into ceramics and then I came to the UK.
So obviously there's difference you just mentioned there from a kind of technology aspect and from a global technology point of view. But working in Portugal and then working in the UK, was there any differences in terms of the way that things were done, the types of cases that you saw, the interaction with the dentist, just generally how dental technology worked? Was there any differences or was it quite similar when you ended up working here after working there?
I think overall it's more or less the same. I'll be honest, it's more or less the same. The difference that I see is because we don't have NHS. Well, we have a health public health system in Portugal, but here it's you have the NHS. Dentistry is inside the NHS. It doesn't happen in Portugal, right? So you have dental labs here that just work for NHS work. They produce a lot of crowns a day. A lot of work. Because we don't have that in Portugal, a big, big lab in Portugal, the production they do, it's a lot smaller than a production here. So my I remember giving you an example. When I worked in a production lab in Portugal 10 years ago, I had to do something around 8 crowns a day, something like that. Maybe 10. So that's pushing it, production lab in Portugal. When I did a couple of some work here in the UK, my first day I had to do 27. Crowns. So wow. it's a big difference. It's just a big difference. Yeah, and of course, if you have to do that type of number, the quality is going to go down. So I think that's the big difference. In terms of private labs, comparing with private labs, let's say 12 employees, something like that, around that size, it's the same. It's exactly the same as in Portugal.
You've done a master's degree, and that's clearly to develop yourself further. I think our listeners would be fascinated to know what made you decide to go down that path and tell us perhaps a little bit more about that.
Well, the main thing was I wanted to go in more into education. I think there's two roads that I always looked into after I finished university and started working in dental labs. It was education and research. That was my something that I like to do. And I think they're both connected, right? From my point of view was if I start doing, like I mentioned before, if I start doing a master's degree, the moment you start doing some master's degree, you start getting some contacts inside universities as well. So it's you slowly start to open some doors. And then when you do your PhD, at that point, you're already doing some research. You're already working with companies that providing you materials. So you're sending data to them. They work. So it opens a lot of doors, not only in terms of education, because you have a high education, you're at a high education level. And at the same time, it opens contacts with universities and companies to research. So that was the main reason.
It's interesting because we quite often talk about opportunities for dentists, you know, specialty training pathways, etc., that necessarily aren't available for other members of the dental team. Is there that much opportunity for dental technicians to progress themselves and to do these kind of courses? I know you said it wasn't really around in Portugal back when you were there, but do you think that's an area that needs expanding? Is there enough opportunity for dental technicians to develop themselves further, do you think?
After they finish their normal.
After they finish their normal. Yes.
I think one of the problems, and I don't know if I'm taking this conversation in the right direction question, but I think one of the problems with that a lot of probably students and maybe universities do as well, but mostly students, I think they're too stuck with the mentality of I'm going to do my dental technician course and for the rest of my life, I'm going to sit in the bench and I'm going to do crowns and that's it. And that's not true. That's just not true. There's a lot of different paths that you can take, a lot of different roads that you can do. The moment you finish your dental technician course, you can be a teacher. You can work for a company and research materials. You can work for a company that I was just having this conversation with some colleagues a couple of weeks ago. One thing that we see that, my point of view, the quality is not there is a lot of dentists pay companies to help them run their social medias. I'll give you the example. they pay to run their social media. But those companies have no idea about anything related with dental. So it's 100% on the back of dentists to give the content to those companies that run the social media. If you actually get a dental technician that has some experience doing some content online, they're strong on Instagram, let's say, they can start working with those companies and provide some content that the dentist can pay for it or the company can pay for it, and you're providing content. Because if you see, and it's easy, if you go online and you see the content provided by these companies to dental technicians, it's always the same. Floss your teeth 2 times a day. Don't forget to do this. Don't drink too much coffee. It's all the posts they provide, it's the same. So if there's, I think there's a lot of different roads that a dental technician can do. But the mentality, even in terms of the practical work, dental technicians are not, dental technology right now is more of a, maybe I can say, blue collar, white collar job. Right, you have the dental technician that sits the whole time in front of a computer, doesn't touch an instrument, designs the everything, and you have the other technician that spends the whole day with a burr and shaping teeth and building them. So there's a lot of different things that you can do inside dental technology. You can go into the road of CAD CAM and 3D printing, or you can go into the road of actually old school building stuff with your hands. So there's a lot of options, and I don't think students actually know that.
It's clear that dental technology is definitely changing, and like you say, there are lots of opportunities, and you're a wonderful example of that, because actually you're doing a PhD, you're mixing academia, research and clinical dental technology, you know, at the coalface, as it were. Mm-hmm. So I think that isn't the immediate pathway for a dental technician. So perhaps talk us through why you think research is important in dental technology.
Well, dental technology is a new profession, at least at an academia level, right? Probably has 20 years, 30 years, let's say. If you look at all the research done in dental technology, everything's been done by companies and dentists. That's it. So all the materials we have in dental labs are choices of dentists and companies, right? No, I'm not the one here saying that they're doing something wrong, but I do believe that it should be something that dental technicians should start looking into, because a lot of, let's say, there's some stuff and some materials and some techniques that dental technicians will know better how to work, how to improve the material than dentists, because they don't work with those materials daily, right? I don't think it's a good idea to, let's say, give a dentist some, I don't think they should have a say, in quotes, let's say, in terms of how to change ceramics. Do they really know that much about ceramics? Mm. Probably dental technicians know a little bit more, But for you to actually improve the materials and develop techniques, you need to have dental technicians with higher degrees that work with those companies and do their research. Because if students leave the university and they never did any research at that point, and they're not going to do it after, because they don't even have an idea how to start doing a literature review or some experimental tests. They don't know how to write. They don't know how to publish it. So I think it's time for dental technology to grab the wheel of his own profession and take it forward.
And you know, that's why we've got you on this podcast, because ultimately this is a podcast where we are trying to inspire and motivate and frankly educate people by other people's experiences, because actually people might not know these opportunities are out there for them.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think there's a lot of opportunities out there for dental technicians, and especially if they start thinking a little bit out of the box. Mm-hmm. There's companies right now that are looking into more of the 3D printing road, right? But the materials for temporary work in terms of 3D printing, it's out there, right? You can print a temporary crown right now on 3D print, but you're not printing a definitive work to put in the mouth right now. You have companies doing 3D printing of zirconia, but quality is there, but it's a long process, it's more expensive. There are companies right now that I know that are looking into 3D printing different types of materials, but I know that those companies are really good at the 3D printing part, but have no idea about the dental world. So they need dental technicians' opinions, and they need dental technicians to be there, and dentists as well, don't get me wrong, to work with those companies, say, look, this is good, but to be careful with that. I think that's important to have dental tech. But of course, you need to think a little bit out of the box and probably knock on their doors. Say, look, you're doing this. I have experience at this. Let's work together.
So taking that into consideration, I'm quite interested to hear about your own PhD and what kind of things you're looking at, but also maybe some of the challenges of you pursuing that.
Well, in terms of what I'm doing, I'm basically just comparing 3D printed zirconia with milled zirconia. But we're trying to see the level of detail that we can do in each one of them. As a reference, we're using Perikimata. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to see if 3D printing of zirconia or milled can get close to the Perikimata of natural teeth. It's hard for milling machines to compete with the 3D printing because of the burrs. Mm-hmm. So that's the first problem we're getting. Normally, I think the smallest burr we can get for milling machines, I think it's 0.3, something like that. And that's not small enough to do Perikimata. So we're trying to work with some companies, see if we can develop a new burr smaller, mm-hmm. smaller than that. And in terms of relevance of the research, it's more because, look, Perikimata will have an influence in the final color of the tooth, right? A smooth surface of a tooth and a brand new tooth, a younger tooth with Perikimata, if you take a picture of it, the one with Perikimata will look a little bit high value, a little bit more value, so a little bit more white, mm-hmm. let's say. So that's important because if you're trying to match another tooth in the mouth, let's say a central, which is always the hardest one. Yeah. If you're trying to match and you're looking into the future and you want to do it in full zirconia, you want that Perikimata there because mm-hmm. it will be important, right? So you want the 3D printer to already come with the Perikimata, because one of the things that you can say to me is, oh, but you can do it by hand. You can get a burr and you can do it by hand. Yes, but the moment you touch zirconia with the diamond burr, you're making that zirconia a little bit more fragile to cracks. You're creating micro cracks on mm-hmm. zirconia. So in the future, that crown will probably crack more easily because of the work you did with the burr. So mm-hmm. The goal is the moment it comes from the 3D printing or the milling machine, it needs to come almost finished. Mm-hmm. Because what we're seeing is because we can't do it in the milling machine, we're trying to see if the 3D printer can do it. So you can get those finest details, because one thing that I see a lot of, you see that a lot of on Instagram as well, young technicians and that work on CAD/CAM, and they post a lot of their work, which is amazing, to be honest. I think it's really good that technicians actually post their work, and they should do it more. But they spend a lot of times with the mouse doing small, really small details in the whole crown. And yeah, but when it gets to the milling machine, the machine is not going to reproduce those details. So it's a waste of time. Yeah. So that's a good tip for dental technicians. Don't spend that much time doing the fine details, because the milling machine won't be able to do it. But maybe the future in the future will do more of 3D printed zirconia. But one thing that we're already seeing in the market is there's already some materials knocking on the door, some brand new materials. So I don't know if it's actually going to get to the point that we will 3D print zirconia, because maybe the new materials will get here quicker than we think, and we'll jump from milled to just another material.
Interesting. So along that trail of thought, I would be interested to hear your thoughts on what you think the future holds. That's one thing that you've just mentioned there, but there's a lot of potential in terms of dental technology generally, but I know that digital dentistry is a big part of that. So what kind of things maybe do you think the future are?
It's always the hardest question, because whatever I say next, it could be wrong 2 days from now.
We can listen back and find
but,
out.
Look, I think since I started, like I mentioned at the beginning, since I started, a lot of things has changed, right? No, mm-hmm. We're not casting anymore. We're not waxing up and casting. Metal is practically dead. Everything is zirconia. So there are a lot of things that have changed, right? When I started, the ceramist was the big the big one in the lab. That's what everyone wanted to do. That's the highest salary, the ceramist. Mm-hmm. And then it changed a little bit during the last couple of years. A really good CAD technician, it started to have the high pay inside the lab because, look, fair enough, it's a new profession. Not a lot of people can do it. Mm-hmm. So it's changed. Now it's going back a little bit again because now what we see happening is all of these, and I know it's a cliche to mention AI because everyone's talking about AI right now, but we see a lot of softwares right now that are designing the crowns. So dentist sends the scan to the lab, and softwares are already designing the crown. So I think it's going back the other direction now. CAD technicians, I think for the future, CAD technicians will probably be more of a technician that does the quality control of what the machine is doing.
Yeah.
So the machine designs everything, the machine gets everything ready, and then before it actually sends it to the milling machine or the 3D printing machine, you need to have a technician with experience that said, oh, this is wrong, we need to change this. So even for the ceramics, you see a lot of work right now, micro-layering, we just layer the buckle side of teeth, a lot of liquid ceramics, so you get the full shape of the tooth and you just paint everything with liquid ceramics. I think dental technician is becoming more of a type of job that it's just the finishing. It's like we normally say the last 10%. I think dental technician is going the direction of you just do the last 10%. You still need to have the knowledge to know how the machine works if it breaks down. You still need to know about dentistry. You need to know about morphology, occlusion. So you need to learn about that because if the computer does a mistake, you still need to fix it, right? Yeah. To do the. But I think it's going more in that direction of just doing the last 10%.
It's very evident that dental technology is undergoing colossal changes, and I'm always fascinated to think about whether you feel as though there are differences in the patient care related to what you do as a dental technician and working within the team. Do you think that has changed as far as your time in the career?
I think in terms of, let's say, teamwork, it has improved. It has improved a lot. I think one of the problems is still missing, I think it's communication. I hate this, I'm sure you get this in surgeries and in labs. It's always this idea of, look at this job. This dentist doesn't know anything about dentistry. And the other way around, dentist grabs a box, this dental technician. Because look, we have different jobs at a certain point, right? A dentist doesn't understand anything about ceramics, and I probably can't read an X-ray, which it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. It's just different. It's just different professions, right? What a dentist should spend a little bit more time knowing what we do at the lab. Yes, but dental technicians should also know a little bit what's done in the surgery. But because none of us is actually spending some time learning what each other do, the communication is the key to improve. We actually need to explain to the dentist, look, this needs to change. This is how it should be done. The dentist probably should actually spend a little bit more time with the technician. Say, look, you should do this because this is the bone. Look at this X-ray, blah, blah, blah. So I think that's the main thing that it's still missing. It is becoming a bit better. I know that there was some numbers of the GDC released maybe, I think, 10 years ago. And the amount of dentists still communicating with labs, just writing down on the
docket thing.
And just sending. Look, there's a lot of digital stuff right now. You can send the web viewer. You can move it with your fingers. You can remove the crown. You can add on the crown. Mm-hmm. So the communication has improved a lot. One thing that we're doing at Nexus Dental, we're improving a lot of the communication because we saw the mistake there. So we're building more of like short videos. So instead of, let's say, I have a problem with shade, which was, I don't know, the dentist's fault because instead of taking a picture right away, the moment the patient walked in, he waited, I don't know, 20 minutes, and now the tooth is dehydrated. Mm. It changed the whole color of the tooth. Mm. Maybe the dentist, it's not the dentist's fault because he probably didn't learn at university that he needs to take a picture right away. So instead of me spending the whole time, emails back and forth, what we started to do, we started to develop a library of short 2-minute videos. So we just sent to the dentist, oh, just have a look at this. He explains everything, explains the steps, explains the protocol. Why is it important? And that's it. So I think it's this communication that we're trying to improve up in Nexus, at Nexus Dental, that is missing in labs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a classic example of something that makes so much sense. You know, you don't know what you don't know. Yeah, unless somebody tells you, you won't know these things. So I think, you know, the communication, when it is good, there is a benefit for the patient, isn't there? There's no doubt about it. It makes a colossal difference to the outcome.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's I think that's that mentality of all dental technicians want to start doing impressions and they want to steal our job. I don't think that mentality, maybe the old days that dental technicians were actually taking impressions and doing some illegal stuff, let's say. Yeah, maybe that was a problem. But the moment it became a university degree, dental technicians know exactly what they're allowed to do. We're not trying to compete with dentists in their own job. That's their job. I think we should work as a team, but at the same point, you have your job. I have my job.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the digital aspect has completely changed that communication. Mm-hmm. Like you say, being able to send digital WhatsApps, look at them on the computer, ring up, speak about it. I think there's a lot more communication than probably there was before because you didn't have the ability to take photos, send stuff back and forth quickly, look at stuff digitally. And I think, like Julia was saying, hopefully patients are getting a better outcome as a result of that.
I think they are.
Dental technology is, I think it would be fair to say, historically known for being perhaps male-dominated, perhaps a slightly more mature group of people working in this profession. But I think with these exciting computer changes and design elements that are all out there now, I think this is becoming a more attractive career for the young. And I'm just wondering whether there's anything that you might be able to say that might inspire or motivate people to go into your profession.
Well, like I mentioned before, I think we need to stop that idea that dental technician is the one working in the basement and just building crowns or dentures and that's it. And it's not. If you like to work in computers, you can go into a career that just works with computers. I have some friends. I have some friends that finished university degree at the same time as me. They really loved photography. Their passion was photography. They're working in big companies that own a lot of surgeries in Lisbon, and they just take the pictures, working with communication between the surgery and the lab, and at the same time giving content for social media. So there's a lot of options. So you can look into the digital, you can follow this route, like I mentioned before, of research or education. There's the route. But if you like building things with your hands, you can still follow that road as well. So it's not the same as it was before. And going back to the beginning of your question, in terms of numbers, I think, yes, in the UK, it's still male dominated, but in Portugal, it isn't. Right now in Portugal, the biggest percentage of technicians are women. So it changed in Portugal as well. And I think at some point it will change here because this idea of, oh, it's just men sitting in the basement where it's cold, no air conditioned, breathing metal, that's long gone.
So you've obviously got a lot of passion. You've got a lot of drive. You've done all of these different things already. But I'm quite interested to know what's next. So where are you aiming for going forward?
Well, that's a big question. That's a big question. Well, I'm not 100% sure. One thing that I wanted to do is I wanted to start spending more time with the family in Portugal, right? I still want to work in the UK, so I'll probably focus more on online work. Mm-hmm. I know that things are changing a little bit now in dental technology because I think it's, I'm not 100% sure what I'm going to say next, but I know there was some kind of support from the NHS to develop more dental technology courses. Mm-hmm. So there are some colleges right now There are opening more courses, and the idea is to do more of online. So the technician will learn a lot of the theory online, but the practical will not be at colleges, right? Because it's a big investment for a college to have rooms, CAD CAM, materials. So, right, so they can do the content online, they can teach online, but the practical is learned in labs. So just leave everything at the practical parts lab. So I would like to be more involved with that. I already started, well, studying a little bit more on that area of e-learning and trying to develop that, which will give me a little bit more freedom to work in Portugal and here. I'll still have to travel back and forth a bit. But that's, so the plan is hopefully at some point work at a university, just work at a university. But because, like I mentioned, it's the salary working at a university in Portugal is not enough to pay the bills. You need to have this. And I think it's the road. I think it's just Portugal and England went into different roads in terms of dental technology. The UK, after the Brexit happened, lost a lot of technicians because there's no foreigners coming in, dental technicians. So at some point after the Brexit happened, the UK started struggling because there wasn't a lot of universities or colleges degrees. And now the UK needs to get technicians as quickly as possible. So the UK needs the numbers. In Portugal, it's a bit different. Because Portugal doesn't need the number, Portugal started looking at, so let's put dental technology at the high academia level. You can't do a college degree in Portugal to become a dental technician. You need to go to university, period. So Portugal looked more into, let's make this profession high academia. And the UK looked, right now is looking more of, we just need the numbers because we're struggling.
Yeah. And you want to be part of that education of that next generation.
I'll hopefully working in with Portugal, because I know they're more involved with big research. Right, so work involved with them, but at the same point, help the UK develop, bring the numbers up in terms of dental technicians and motivate dental technicians, like doing these podcasts, to bring more dental technicians to the profession.
Yeah, I think it's certainly in my practicing career as a hygienist, I've noticed a colossal difference with dental technology. I mean, it really has had a seismic change and you know, that's all for the good, I think. Thank you so much, Hugo, for coming on the podcast. It's been a great pleasure to have you.
No, thank you. It was really fun.
Thank you. If you've been inspired by that episode, did you know that the Eastman Dental Hospital Education Centre provide training for the whole dental team? Follow us on social media or search for the Eastman Dental Hospital Education Centre to find out more.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode. We would love to hear your suggestions for future guests. Remember to follow us on social media using hashtag the Eastman Dental Podcast. And if you like what you hear, please like, share, subscribe, and listen out for future episodes.